afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Friday, August 19th, 2022. Hi, Butch.
Hi, Melody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fantastic. Thank you very much. Hope you're doing well also.
TGIF, yes, I am.
TGIF.
Yes, I am.
Yep or do.
I know you got a hot, busy weekend planned.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a busy one. And, you know, before I go into the gold prices, I see that China was busy buying gold, where their gold imports soared nearly 150% in July as gold began to trade below 1,800. That's what the Chinese do, man. They buy on. They are true buyers of the dips. And, in fact, lots of times they manipulate markets so that they do go down, so that they can go in and purchase. They've done it before with soybeans. They've done it before with other markets. There's no reason for them not to do it for gold. So they know what's happening.
So, yes, they do.
Yep. So it's a great to get into an entry point at a cheaper price, and that's what folks should do. And I also saw gold, or I should say the USDX today, 108. It hasn't been that high for a very long time. And for gold to hold up and only be down $11, I think that was a pretty good showing for gold today. He's like, well, yeah, Melanie, it's down almost $12. Yeah, it's true. But the dollar is up over 108. So gold today is trading at $1,748. Silver was down at $19.16. Platinum was $904. Palladium was $2,206. And all were in the negative territory. And gold was down the least. It was just a little over 0.5%. Gold was down. And the white metals were all closer to 2 and 2+. So again, less volatility with gold. The USDX today was up 0.63 at 108.12. Crude oil was only down 37 cents at 90.13. And the paper markets today, the Dow is, you know, down almost 300 points, 33,706. S&P was down 1.3% at 4,228. NASDAQ was down 2%, 12,705. Asian markets, Hang Seng was higher. European markets, the FTSE was higher. The 10-year yield is back up almost 3%, 2.978. And that was up 0.098. Oils today, natural gas is back up over 9.30 for natural gas, up 1.3%. So that was pretty much it. We're, you know, heading into the end of August. Everybody's on vacation for this month, so you are going to see kind of strange movements in these markets and so forth. And the U.S. dollar index hit a 5-week high, posted its biggest weekly gain since April of 2020. And, of course, this is supposedly because investors adjusted for the likelihood that the Federal Reserve is going to keep hiking rates just to battle inflation. So that's what they're betting on. The dollar index rose 0.61, again, over 108. This is the highest since July 15th. The euro continues to drop. And so that was pretty much it. You know, for the U.S. dollar to weaken meaningful, the Fed has to get more concerned about growth than inflation. And the Bank of America analyst said, you know, we're just not there yet. They're more worried about inflation now than growth. But how long that lasts, who knows, Butch?
Yeah, and, who knows?
Yeah. We also saw weakness creeped into the crypto sector. And so they got a little hammer today also. So,
you know, an article I read today, and I read it. I didn't read enough to explain the whole thing to have time, but talk about the savings, putting your savings in whatever item that you desire putting in. But you put in items that are hard to come by, hard to produce, and hard to make is the wisest thing to do. For example, you put it in dollars, they're not hard to make. They just print them. They just print paper, H dollars. Even in the metals, the only metal that lasts forever is gold. Silver that will tarnish and rust away, and so with the other metals. Gold itself is something that you can keep a piece of gold for 2,000 years, it doesn't change. The gold is this most solid investment that man's ever been a jet, that's not going to deteriorate with time. And then we know to put in the dollar deteriorates every day. So you're playing a losing game in dollars. You truly are. You're losing money every day you put money in that. But gold was the only sound investment that would maintain its quality through thousands of years. So it stood the test of time. That's why China's buying it like they are.
And that's why gold was chosen as the monetary metal.
That's right. Exactly right.
It's the only metal that has the... and I went over that once before. I'll have to look it up and go over it again. It's the only metal that has those attributes to it.
So
the others are all either gas or they rust away or they, you know, and so forth. Gold is the only one that stays. So
that in itself, folks, will tell you which one's the best investment if you can do it. And now the time to do it, while it is down. If China sees that, we see ourselves as individuals. If we can do it at all, we need to do it. You know, I mean, China's in a position, obviously, they can buy it and pay the price for it and put it back. And they know it's going to go up in value tremendously. And they are backing a yuan somewhat with gold. Why would they not continue doing that, make the yuan more valuable around the world?
Yeah, I mean, it is a battle. And I don't care what anybody says or how many trade agreements we have with these countries. It's still who's going to be on top.
Yes.
And, you know, and who can also reap the most wealth and power. So it's just not about their countries. It's about themselves also. And it is kind of interesting.
A country that's looking out after its own welfare as far as maintaining its worth in its currency is backing something of value. And obviously China and Russia, too, to the point, is already doing it. But China is really moving in a direction that the yuan will stay strong no matter what happens to the other currencies around the world. The yuan will have gold back in it. They'll be worth something no matter what happens to the rest of them, including the U.S. Mm-hmm. Including the U.S.
Correct.
Probably especially the U.S. pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, anyway, you have something else you want to share before we get started in some headlines here?
Are we going to talk any more about those IRS... I guess we are, about conspiracy theories, because I had an interesting call today that I'd like to share when we get to that point.
Okay. All right. I'll start out with some information our producer, Todd, sent me that I thought was kind of shocking, interesting. They're selling homes near where he lives, Melody, in Savannah Plain up near Hanover, PA. The home is a two-bath, three-bedrooms, about 3,300 square foot. It sells for $539,900. And $90 plus, all right? That's the price. So about $540,000 for the home. But when they looked at the payments, the taxes and the insurance per month, now this is what really was amazing. Payments per month, $2,313 a month. Home insurance, $189 a month. That's not optional, folks. Got to have it. Taxes alone, $841 a month. That makes the total payment for that home $3,343 per month, which equals $40,113 a year. So $40,000 of anybody's salary if they buy this home, $40,000 of it first goes just for shelter. Then you got to take care of the automobiles and all the utilities and all the other things going through. But over $40,000 a year just to make payments on a home. Now, I don't know how people in this country can do that. I know I certainly couldn't do that. A house payment with taxes alone, $841, Melody. Now, how in the world did we let it get that bad where we were paying 800 and some bucks just for taxes a month? What in the world happened to us? What, I mean, we're talking about $1,000 a year in taxes. I mean, I'm sorry, $10,000 a year in taxes.
$10,000, yeah. Yep.
Gee whiz. You know.
And that's probably a conservative state.
Wow.
And there are some states out there that have some really high property taxes. There's some states that don't have any property taxes. So, but more of them do than not. And it's just it's just terrible. It really is terrible. And I was watching this thing. I'll make this quick so you can go on. I was watching
go ahead. Go plain time.
I was watching this program that goes back that was dating the year 876 or something like this over in England, with the Danes and the Brits and so forth, and they're fighting and everything, and how they have their little different kingdoms, and how each kingdom has a king, and the people work and they do the, and they do it. And it's like, there really isn't any different than what we are today.
It isn't.
It really isn't.
No, it isn't.
And, people think that we're free and so forth, and we're not. Were we really ever? And it's really no different. We're slaves. We're the same slaves. We're slaves in a different way, but we're still slaves as the blacks were to some degree.
That's true.
Now people are going to say, oh my gosh, you don't go through anything like that. I get that. But I mean, I'm talking about how they were tied and how they didn't own anything and how it was owned by the property owner and how it was owned by the kings and how it was owned by the governments. No different than today.
Well, feudalism was practiced for many years, and the people did have the property. And they had to produce for the king. They had to share their labor with the king in a way of taxation.
But the king could take it anytime he wanted.
That's the whole point. That's why I'm going to say this. We say we're different today. $10,000 a year, just taxes on the house alone. The least little stumble in a man's income, who was working to pay for that home, could mean that the government's going to end up taking their home for the taxes owed to the king. The feudalism system is still working. We call it something else, but it's still working. Because when it comes right down to it, I don't care who you are, you cannot dispute this. You do not own your home. Nor do you own your vehicle. If you don't pay tax on it, you don't drive it, you don't live in it. They will take your home for lack of taxes. They will take it and sell it for taxes. No matter how long you pay for it, if you pay for it 30 years and say, I got the deed for it, no, you don't own your home. The state, the county owns your home. Now, folks, let's just get over this idea that we're living in a free country where you can literally own your property. That's not true. Never has been true, actually. Not since the allodial title went that way many, many, many years ago. You do not own your home. So let's get over the idea that we live in a free country where you can build your home and pay for it. It's all yours, huh? Doesn't work that way, does it, Melody?
Nope. So we are slaves to the government.
So, yes, we are. Mm-hmm. We truly are. And whether we're slaves to government, let's say that, they only take 10% of our earnings. Well, we're slaves 10% of earnings. Or 10% of our lives, our production of life, goes to the government. So we're enslaved that much, because if we don't pay that, then they take it. But we all know we're enslaved for much more than 10%. Counting everything put together. Probably over half of some people are what they're paying in. Just for the privilege of living in a home and taking care of their families. That's America today. So don't tell me how free we are. Any more comments on that?
Nope.
And this story I thought was kind of nice. Lowe's to give $55 million in bonuses for hourly workers to fight inflation. That's the first company I heard of doing this. American retail company Lowe's is handing out $55 million in bonuses to its frontline hourly employees in the effort to help combat the increasing cost of living. Lowe's chief executive Marvin R. Ellison announced the bonus scheme during the company's second quarter earnings call on Wednesday. I would like to personally thank our associates for their hard work and dedication. Recognition of some of the cost pressures they are facing due to high inflation, we're providing an incremental $55 million in bonuses to our hourly frontline associates this quarter. These associates have the most important jobs in our company, and we deeply appreciate everything they do to serve our customers and deliver a best-in-class experience. For a designated time period, the company is also providing workers with an additional 10% discount on everyday household and cleaning items, meaning they can now purchase these products at a 20% discount. Executive Vice President Joe McFarland said he hopes that the added discounts will also help to ease the burden of inflation impacting many of these items. We'll continue to look for meaningful ways to improve our associates' work-life balance and providing them with the tools to build their career at Lowe's. Steve Salazar, a spokesperson of Lowe's, confirmed to the Washington Post that employees of the company will see the bonuses on September 9th. Now listen to this. And it will be taxed. And get that in there. Great. Lowe's doing, I think that's a fantastic move for Lowe's. I applaud them for that. But they had put into it, you get the bonus, but it's going to be taxed. So your overlord will get his share first. Okay, what else, Melody?
So I wonder, though, how much does Lowe's get back, you know, if it's being taxed? You always have to look for the little thing in there, the caveat, because, yeah, I'm sorry, these corporations don't do these things unless it benefits them. I'm sorry, they don't do it out of the goodness of their hearts. You'd like to think it does.
You would like to think they would, because they appreciate your associates. Mm-hmm. You like to think that, wouldn't you?
You would like to think that, yes, and I would too, but I know better. You know, it's image building. It's, you know, how many people are going to be laid off? How are they going to raise certain prices in order to pay for it and blame inflation? And it will come out. You know, maybe not today, but it will come out on, you know, the benefits that Lowe's. But congratulations to those employees. I'm not going to take that away from them.
No, I think that was, whatever the case, just the 20% discount on something adds up to a lot of inflation savings, does it not?
Sure does. It does.
You know, and that's a huge discount. I mean, I don't, we're not, every now and then Marshall likes to drink an orange Coke. Went out to the local dollar store yesterday getting to buy an orange Coke. No orange product in the building. None. No kind of any orange Cokes. But when you have them now, a six pack is now over $7 for the bottles of orange Coke. Over $7 for a six pack of Coke. We looked for Kool-Aid. They didn't have any Kool-Aid. Orange or strawberry Kool-Aid. So what I'm saying is, obviously the shortages and the prices keep rising and rising. I remember when you buy a 12-pack of Coke, and I don't drink much Coke at all because that isn't good for me. I don't drink it. But a 12-pack you can buy for $2.99. Now they're over $7. So what's happening? Folks, that's called inflation. Like your lump, it's inflation. If you get 20% off of that, then that would save you about $1.40, which is savings no matter what. So that's what we're talking about. That's what's going on.
Well, Lowe's does it offer that to regular customers, too, and so forth, not just to the employees. But, you know, they gave seven similar bonuses, and I figured it out. Lowe's gave seven similar bonuses after the pandemic began in 2020 and 2021. In 2021, the bonuses were $300 for full-time workers and $150 for part-time workers. In an age where people can't find workers, I'll bet they're saving money keeping their employees with these bonuses than having to do all the hiring, to doing the unemployment, to do all the processing that it takes to replace employees. So they're probably saving money that way. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening. And that's a smart move on Lowe's. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. When you know, Butch, you add into the cost of inflation and so forth. There was a report out today by the Wall Street Journal that it now costs $300,000 to raise a child.
Yeah, I saw that. Yes.
A middle-income family might spend more than $18,000 a year on average as inflation hits the food, housing, haircuts, and sports. So $300,000.
That's
to raise
not counting
the
maintain his health and all the other things too, and the insurance. That's not counting.
Oh, if nothing happens, nothing happens.
Wow, $300,000. I mean, that's ridiculous, and that is amazing. But anyway, and that, folks, that is inflation. We're very used to the idea. This inflation not going to go away. I'm watching gasoline prices drop again today. Yeah, I did. They dropped 10 cents a gallon. I watched them drop, but everything else has gone up. Thank goodness I can afford to buy a gallon of gas now. It's still a dollar and a half higher than it was last year, right at that, $1.25. But, you know, the price come down on that. I can go to town maybe, but the prices of town are going up through the roof. And this is something that we need to consider, too, because I told you that day on the program that potato farmers are selling what's left of last year's supplies, and nothing's going into the into the warehouse this year. This is by Michael Snyder. Well, catastrophic crop losses in 2022 lead to unprecedented shortages in 2023. Crops are failing all over the globe this summer. But most people don't even know that this is happening because the big television news channels aren't talking much about it. And they're not, Melody. They're not mentioning any of this, are they?
No, they're not.
Instead, they remain intensely focused on politics day after day. Without doubt, the political realm is important, but there should also be plenty of time to discuss a raging global crisis, which is going to deeply affect all of us. Let that sink in, folks. All of us. The food that is going to be is the food that is not being grown this year is not going to be in our on our place next year. But the vast majority of the population doesn't understand this. They see plenty of food in the stores now, and they just assume that everything is going to be okay. Unfortunately, everything is not going to be okay. Over in the UK, a major British news source is warning of widespread crop failures across England. And folks, it's happening here in America. Experts have warned of widespread crop failures across England as charities and farmers actually criticize water companies for dithering over hosepipe bans despite drought being declared across much of the country. So what sort of losses are we talking about? Well, it is now being projected that the losses could reach up to 50% for a wide variety of crops. Half the potato crop is expected to fail as it cannot be irrigated. And even crops that are usually drought tolerant, such as maize, have been failing. The group was told irrigation options are diminishing with reservoirs being emptied fast, and that loss of 10 to 50% are expected for crops including carrots, onions, sugar beet, apples, and hops. Milk production is also down dramatically because of the lack of food for cows, and wildfires are putting large areas of farmland at risk. The British are assuming that they will just get enough food to feed the population from someone else. But that is what everyone else is assuming also. Now, folks, this is a very, very important point. As global food supplies get tighter and tighter, the wealthy countries will buy food at elevated prices, and many poor countries will be left out and will suffer tremendously. Things are even worse in Italy. As I covered the other day, some farmers in Italy have already lost up to 80% of their harvest. In Italy, farmers in some parts of the country have lost 80% of their harvest this year due to severe weather abnormalities. The Coldiretti Farming Association had said Thursday. So where will Italy get food to feed the population? Just like the British, they plan to get it from someone else. But who is the someone else going to be? Here in the United States, agricultural production is going to be way below expectations because of the endless drought that's plaguing about half the country. That's a very good point. The Netherlands are taken down, they're second largest food producer in the world. They're being taken down farm by farm. We're not producing as food here we should. Tomato crops in California failed. Potato crops in Idaho failed. So who are we going to sell to? Folks, this is really coming together. This is a worldwide famine. And yeah, it'll affect poor nations maybe that will us. But I know for a fact, people that I speak to here in our local area are getting a little frustrated. You can't find what you want to on the shelf sometimes. And if you do find that the price is so outrageous, it's unbelievable. But that's what we're facing. Michael Snyder done a good job. Made some very good points on that in the article, because if the companies that we used to depend on to feed us aren't producing enough for themselves, or even for themselves, how are they going to sell us anything? And again, a country that depends on other people to feed them ends up being a hungry country. Go ahead, Melody.
And that's very true. I mean, we've been importing more agriculture than exporting for years and years and years. And, you know, we always talked about, oh, there's only three days of food on the store shelves. Well, you know what? Look at the store shelves. They're not even full anymore. So I'd have to knock that down to 2 days maybe. And and you're beginning to hear more and more people, restaurant people too, saying that there's shortages and so forth, that they're having difficult times. They used to be able to buy whatever they needed, and they can't do that anymore. They have to make do with what's available. So it's affecting more than what people, I think, really realize.
Well, we're seeing, again, when that happens and the prices go up, the restaurants have to raise their prices to cover their sales.
Exactly.
And, you know, so it's a vicious circle. And you're right. Some restaurants I go to from time to time that don't have the things I used to like to eat there. At Bob Evans, I used to like their multi-grain pancake. Don't make me more. They don't make them. They just drop the product. So this is, that's just one little issue. But still, there's many more than that. I just haven't found them all yet. But they're out there. And on top of what I just read, at least 37% of American farmers, now listen to this, say they're killing existing crops and selling off livestock due to drought after the U.S. experienced its third hottest July on record. A report from the American Farm Bureau Federation has found that 37% of American farmers from the Great Plains through California are killing off crops. One-third of the farmers also reported destroying orchard trees and other multi-year crops. And two-thirds have had to sell off portions of their herds or flocks. Others have simply sent their livestock to the slaughterhouse early. They have said they were forced to do so due to an ongoing drought, which is making it difficult to water crops and care for the animals. The situation may only get worse as local governments implement further measures to conserve water. As a result, the Farm Bureau says Americans will soon have to pay even more for meat and crops, as they're already struggling with inflation. As I said the other day, one of our sponsors on the program, Demand of Foods, can't find meat to make their meat products. They're watching prices rise and everything else, and shortages and everything else, and they're trying to plan ahead, but they can't even plan ahead because the supply chain is so irregular, they can't really plan on one thing being there week after week. Folks, this is for a real situation. With 37% of the farmers killing the crops because they're not growing anyway, you just let them go. Send off the livestock, take them to early to the livestock slaughterhouse. That's going to mean prices may even come down a while with the glut of meat. But when there's no more meat coming in, prices are going to skyrocket. As I told you, lady from Iowa that they called, said she was paying $2.70 a pound for hamburger. The other day she paid $4.98 a pound. This is in Iowa, a Midwest state that raises cattle. So this is what's happening. Bit by bit, little by little, they're destroying our food system. They're cutting it up in pieces and destroying it. And you have to know that part of this is intentional. Please don't think it's all coincidence. This is so much intentional. It's happening around the world, not just here. And it started mainly with COVID. The world went on trial with COVID to see what would happen. And ever since then, they've taken us down step by step, piece by piece, all over the world, have they not?
That's very true.
So we can say what we want to, but it doesn't change the fact that we're going to pay a price that we never heard of before in America. Now, that's all there is to it, because we never had this kind of situation where the food was not being raised somewhere to replenish our warehouses. If they're burning down the orchards, that means peaches and apples and whatever, they're going to go up in price because they're not going to be there. And I said this many years ago, this is going to happen. And I said this maybe in your program, but I know I did on mine. One day, it's going to get so bad, they're going to trade your guns for food. Uh-huh. I said that. Well, guess what, Mildy? You can now trade in your guns for food. Nashville launches program to keep you fed as long as you disarm.
No.
How serious is that? I mean, people get so hungry, they'll give up their guns. They want to eat. With the war on American energy is in full swing, with lockdowns mandates, with lockdown mandates, witch hunts, and inflationary policies pushing people to the edge, Democrats are looking to capitalize on the growing starvation, homelessness, and civil unrest. In the next phase of the war, food and shelter will be used to control a large swath of the population. Let me repeat that, folks. This is going to come. It's already started. In the next phase of the war, what war? The war for what's left of our country. Food and shelter will be used to control a large, in other words, the word control, a large swath of the population. As Americans struggle to pay rent and put food on the table, Democrats will look for new ways to tax individuals more and more and use their hunger to disarm them and make them more subservient. Now, they say Democrats, and I agree, Democrats are a big part of this, but folks, believe me, Republicans are not doing anything about it. They're not. On Saturday, August 20, 2022, the Greater Revelations Church, and I can't believe the church gets involved in this, but they did. The Greater Revelations Church in Nashville, Tennessee, is hosting a gift cards for guns exchange. Gift cards for guns. Hungry residents are encouraged to turn in their firearms in exchange for $50 Kroger gift cards, preseason coupons, and giveaways. The police department has partnered with the Nashville Predators Foundation, to collect the firearms and distribute the gift cards. The church's last gun buyback program was touted a success with a record 198 firearms collected in all. According to the Metro Nashville Police Department, participants will have the chance to turn in their firearms to members of the police department with no questions asked and receive compensation in the form of a gift card. The program offers a glimpse of America's future, one where inflation and starvation is used to disarm people and make them defenseless and subservient. Now, we've been saying this for years, Melody. I know you have, too. This was coming to this, and now it's happening. It's literally happening in a church in Nashville, Tennessee. In fact, every single firearm that will be surrendered to the Nashville Police Department could be sold for much more than $50. How hungry and desperate have Americans become if they would really give up their personal defense for 1/8 to 1/20 of its real market value? And when it comes down to it, personal protection actually has had an inherently unlimited value. A gun can be used to save one's life and save others in the community. A good police department should work with communities to train citizens on how to protect their households and then deter crime. Instead of conspiring with community organizations to confiscate guns for a measly $50, police departments should empower citizens to defend their families, their communities, and their nation. That's what Israel did in Numbers chapter 1, folks. They told the people to arm up to defend themselves, their tribes, and their country. So that's what we're seeing in America. We knew this was coming. Now it started. Any comments, Melody?
No, I don't.
I mean, you can't argue the fact it's happening.
No, you
because
can't.
It's happening. It's happening. Right now, as we speak, it's happening.
And and the thing of it is, there's so many more things that are lined up to happen.
Oh, yes. And can somebody tell me why disarming the people is what they want to do? Why would they want to disarm peaceful people? People that are not using the guns to commit crimes, why would they want to disarm us? What's the purpose behind that? Is it for our own good? Are they trying to protect us and make sure we eat well? What's the reason to disarm me and you, Melody? I've never harmed anybody with a gun. Never want to. I do carry a gun. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'll carry it. If I need to, I will, but I don't want to. I am not a criminal. Why does disarming me make a beneficiary for the government? Now think about that a minute. Everybody think about that. Obviously, there's a plan behind that a lot deeper than most people want to realize. You agree?
I agree.
Any comments on that?
No, sir.
All right. No, sir. You hear that? How about that? And another sign of a decaying
scared
nation.
You, huh?
What can I say? Another sign of a decaying country. This is really sad. I was in San Francisco back in the late 60s. Yeah, maybe 69. I was up to 70. And San Francisco was a beautiful town. I mean, I don't like cities, but this was a pretty place. The death of downtown San Francisco, Cleveland, and Portland have seen activity drop by almost 50% as soaring crime in the Democrat-run cities force workers, tourists, and homeowners away. San Francisco, Cleveland, and Portland have the most deserted downtowns in the U.S. as soaring crime rates in Democratic cities or scare away workers and tourists. In a recent study by the Institute of Governmental Studies at the University of California, Berkeley, San Francisco downtown area was found to be only 31% active over the spring of 2022 when compared to pre-pandemic levels, with Cleveland at 36% and Portland at 41%. Meanwhile, cities like Salt Lake City, Utah, Bakersfield, California, and Columbus, Ohio are enjoying the fastest comebacks, seeing their downtown activity go up by more than 10% since 2019. By tracking more than 18 million smartphone users, now, you hear that, folks? Tracking. Yeah, that's what smartphones do. By tracking more than 18 million smartphone users traveling through America's busiest downtowns, researchers found that the three cities have been plagued by a spike in crime or trailing in COVID-19 recovery. And, Melody, they said this is on top of the fact that they're shutting down the free marketplace for drugs. No, I'm not making it up. This is San Francisco. They actually have a place where you can go downtown and use drugs to swap and buy and sell drugs, and no intervention by the law. And they wonder why the city's falling apart?
It really is sad.
That is sad.
And there's so many people out. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people saying, well, if you legalize it, that'll take the criminal element out of it and, you know, it'll get better. No, it won't. Look what it's doing. Look at all the legalization of drugs and hardcore drugs and look what's happening. And then you hear people say, well, you know, if they're going to do drugs, they're going to do drugs. Don't bother me, Annie, because I'm not doing it. And it's just like, no, that's not right.
Well, the fruit of it is obviously here. When cities like San Francisco, I've been there, wasn't there long to see a pretty town, well-maintained homes, beautiful streets, outside restaurants, you know, little places you go and eat, get a hot dog, and riding the railway system, the trolley cars, all that was, really a pretty place. Going over a hill and seeing the San Francisco Bridge out in the bay, and even walk across it, my friend. I mean, seeing these things and then realizing that's no longer there like that. That's really sad. That's in my lifetime, and I'm not 150 years old. I mean, that's in my lifetime. It's changed that much. That is phenomenal. In 50 years, San Francisco went into the pits. A major city was growing and prospering. In 50 years, folks, it's almost under. Wow.
And we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. Butch?
All right. And we're going to discuss the IRS now, folks. And I don't care how you say it or how you look at it. We already have a standing army in this country, and they're federalized. The FBI, the CIA, and many other agencies are now armed agencies. It is a standing army, which is totally unconstitutional. And the founders decide they can allow that in our, but we have it here. And yes, we're quartered them among us. No, they're not in our homes yet, but we're paying for their quarters. We're paying for them to harass us, eat out of substance. Well, now the IRS is going to add 87,000 more standing military. Oh, yeah, they've been trained to shoot. Look it up online. You find them practicing. Looks like a squad of cops out there practicing. They're being trained to shoot people. More money for IRS spurs conspiracy theories on Shadow Army. Conspiracy theory? And you watch them train them how to shoot people? It's been called President Biden's Shadow Army, described as a strike force to shake down small businesses with assault rifles and likened to a militia of auditors on search and destroy missions. A decades-long Republican antipathy toward the Internal Revenue Service has reached a new level of intimacy with the passage of the Democratic-backed bill that gives the agency $80 billion to beef up its ability to go after tax cheats. Legislation, which Mr. Biden signed into law last week, will allow the beleaguered agency to hire more than 80,000 employees, upgrade outdated technology systems, and improve its ability to respond to taxpayers. The agency's staff is the same size today as it was in 1970, when it processed far fewer individual tax returns. Its enforcement staff has fallen more than 30% since 2010, and the audits of millionaires have declined more than 70%. As of date, June, millions of taxpayers were still waiting for their agency to process their 2021 tax returns. But Republicans who have long accused the IRS of unfairly targeting conservatives, and folks, by the way, that wasn't unfairly. They did do it. They did do it. Melody, there's a guy in jail right now that's head of this for a while, called January 6th. He was the head of the Constitution. They targeted conservative groups. That was a fact. That was on the news. That they actually did. So this is not a theory. They targeted conservative groups. It says that have seized on the law to fan unfolded conspiracy theories about the threat that mom-and-pop shops and middle-class Americans will face from an emboldened tax collector. So, yes, this is not a theory. They did target conservative groups. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of the party that Jim was ahead of that's in prison now. I know he's blind in one eye. I can still see him wearing a patch. They targeted him.
The Tea Party?
The Tea Party, yes, yeah. Thank you. They targeted them. They did. Now, don't tell me you don't, and they didn't, and they won't. They're going to. Now, go ahead, Mildy.
Well, you know, I had a call today from a gentleman, and he told me, he said he heard on the radio program, and he didn't tell me from who, which program it was, but their thoughts were that all of these agents would be used to, when the system collapsed, you know, like in other countries, when they exchange your currency, you have to go hand in what you currently have, and then they give you the current rate of exchange, whether in today's world, whether it be a card, whether it be your corporate account or whatever with the government, you would get that. So they're being positioned in order to do that function. And my question, I thought, well, you know what, that really is interesting. And then I got to thinking, the COVID relief checks, they did come, many of them, from the IRS. And so the IRS processed, in the initial few weeks of the first stimulus check program in 2020, the IRS deployed 89.5 million payments. When a third stimulus check was approved by Congress in March 11, 2021, they had already disbursed about 90 million payments. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to know that here you have the IRS already sending out these individual checks. Now, did they do it before, like during 9/11? When I don't know. But the timing is kind of interesting, you know, because now you have the government getting people used to all these stimulus checks coming from COVID and so forth, the shutdown. I mean, just, it's like everything is just going step by step by step.
Yes.
And hiring all these agents now to where they could be deployed, you know, 1,700 or more per state or less, depending on what state you're in. And that's good coverage.
It truly is.
Good
and
coverage.
They'll be armed. Mm-hmm. Armed with AR-15s.
Why wouldn't you be if you were taking money?
That's very true. Very true. Very true. Oh, my. It's heating up. Oh. It's really heating
up. Very interesting.
Up.
You know, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but it really gives you food for thought.
It's certainly something that could happen.
Absolutely.
It could happen.
It makes sense.
Mm. Okay.
So, all right.
Were you wanting to scoot out for a little bit?
I'm going to scoot out a little bit. Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-375-4188. Thank you, Butch, for closing the program.
You're welcome. I'll see you next week.
All right.
Have a good
Bye-bye.
Weekend. Okay.
You too. Bye-bye.
And, folks, we're watching more and more things come together that is causing an underlying turmoil and anger in the people. States are bracing for social media-enabled election violence. Yeah, I'm serious. Folks, obviously, the last election was, we know, was rigged. There's no denying that. That's just a fact. But we're going to see unrest come up, I do believe, in this November. Things don't improve very quickly. That could be, at best, unsettling. State election officials say they're seeing an uptick in a new kind of social media-fueled danger to U.S. midterms, online anger that threatens to spill over into the real-world violence. In Arizona, online conspiracy theories resulted in so many harassing phone calls to the Secretary of State's office, employees had to take a break from answering. Officials have seen such a flood of violent rhetoric online that this week they sent letters to tech company CEOs pleading with them to do more control of their platforms. In Maine, a state where Election Day is associated with patriotic pie eating, a poll worker last year received a credible death threat on Facebook. Bloomberg reached out to all 50 Secretaries of State and spoke with representatives of 12 offices from Texas to Hawaii. All those who commented said they have seen an increase in online suspicion about the electoral process, which in many states has led to threats for staff or poll workers and resignations of these crucial employees. All right, there you go. On top of that, DeSantis's new election crime unit makes its first arrest. Obviously, folks, where there's smoke, there's fire. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced the first arrest made by state's new elections police force Thursday. They have a state elections police force. 20 people previously incarcerated for murder or sexual assault who he said had illegally voted in the 2020 election. The GOP-led Florida legislature passed a bill creating an Office of Election Crimes and Security after early this year at DeSantis' behest. While the 2020 election went smoothly in Florida, DeSantis called it the gold standard for elections, the governor has said that there are still issues and conservative lawmakers have sought to further tighten voting regulations. The governor, widely considered a potential 2024 presidential candidate, heralded the arrest, saying the union has sprung into action to hold individuals accountable for their voter fraud. DeSantis said they had been arrested for violating the rules of a constitutional amendment passed to Florida voters in 2018 that allows formerly incarcerated people to register to vote, except for those who committed felony and sexual assault or murder. So this is just the opening salvo, DeSantis said. This is not the sum total of 2020. So we see people being arrested in Florida for voter fraud. Voted when they shouldn't have voted. How'd they do it without the proper ID? How'd they do it without, I thought there was already a safeguard built for that. I don't know. But we're seeing unrest across the states. When the election comes up in November, what could happen? I have no idea. The folks, the country is beginning to boil. Something's going to explode. The IRS is now recruiting an army. And I'm not exaggerating when I say army. They're training these people to fight. They're disarming the people with food cards. Something is coming down the road that I don't think we're going to enjoy, not for a second. We will see. What Mel just shared with us, yeah, I think it's a very real possibility. I do. I don't know what's going to happen or not, but it's a very real possibility. But we know another situation right down below us, the southern border. Mexico's president vowed to end the drug war. Instead, he doubled the number of troops in the streets. Well, we're not putting our military, the National Guard in the streets, or the U.S. Army, or the Marines. We're putting federal agents in who are not federal at all. The IRS is not a federal agency. Neither is the, mine's going to blank on that one, neither is the Federal Reserve. They're not federal. They're both private. But we're putting in a private standing army and calling them federal. The same thing they're doing in Mexico, but he's more honest. After cartels unleashed a wave of violence across Mexico last week, killing civilians, blocking roads, burning vehicles, and setting dozens of stores on fire, the government here responded, as it often does, to an outbreak of lawlessness. It sent in the troops. The thousands of soldiers and National Guard members who arrived in the cities of Tijuana, Juarez, and Guadalajara in recent days appeared ready for combat with helmets, camouflage, and assault rifles strapped across their ballistic vests. With a reminder of not only the ongoing security crisis gripping the station, but also President Andres Obrador's failed promise to pull troops off the streets. As a candidate, Obrador vowed a radical break with the militarized security strategy of his predecessors, which he blamed for turning Mexico into a cemetery. He floated the idea of drug legalization and amnesty for criminals and promised to lift up poor communities with hugs and not bullets. Insisting that soldiers don't solve anything, he repeatedly vowed to return the army to the barracks. Yet since taking office nearly 4 years ago, Obrador has embraced the army's forces with unprecedented fervor, expanding many of the same policies that he once attacked. More than 200,000 federal troops are deployed across Mexico, more than twice as many as have been at any point since the country launched its war on drug trafficking 16 years ago. That includes members of the expanding military and Navy, as well as more than 92,000 members of the National Guard, a new force created by López Obrador that is trained by the Army and is mostly made up of former soldiers. Mexico is suffering greatly, folks, as most of the world is, with unrest, frustration, and anger. That's just a fact. Now, I'm going to close, as I always try to do, with a good news item. And it starts out as maybe not such good news. Now, you'll hear why. But it ends in some good news, all right? Cops shut down little girl's lemonade stand. That was bad. But listen. Asia Baker is a budding entrepreneur. At 8 years old, who's been running a lemonade stand this summer. On most days, she sets up the shop in front of a yard of her family's home in Alliance, Ohio. Completing this poll entities, but the other day she got wind of a big festival in town near her dad's office, the Alliance Rib and Food Festival. She decided all those hungry folks might be thirsty, so she set up her lemonade stand about a half block from the festival. A few minutes later, the police showed up. Someone had filed a complaint. Well, they were really sad that they had to shut me down, but they gave me $20 to try and pay for it. to buy the license. Folks, I mean, that was a good part. They didn't want to shut it down, but some busybody, we'll go on with that. Turns out that in Ohio, anyone who sells lemonade has to have a permit. She was told to shut down her stand. The police officer felt bad, but the law is the law. So he gave her $20 so she could buy a permit. I could definitely tell he did not want to shut her down. But, I mean, you get a call. He has to do it. He definitely did the right thing, you know, in the situation he was put in. He just mother told the television station. Eric Strada, the owner of Black Stills Liquidation, read a Facebook post about Asia, and he was so impressed he offered her to let her sell lemonade from his downtown business. I don't know a lot of 8-year-olds with motivation like that. I know when I was 8 years old, I was video gaming it up, and I was inside on the couch watching Saturday morning cartoons. I was not doing lemonade stand, trying to make my own money, he said. What a messed up country you live in where kids can need government papers to sell lemonade. I understand the rules. I understand why she got shut down. It's just sad. Sad situation, Ace's mom told the television station. The only thing more sour than the lemons is a low life who ratted out the 8-year-old girl. I like that. But the cop felt so bad he paid your money to buy her license so she continued selling. And the gentleman that owned a business downtown said, you can sell them from my store. Folks, there are still some people out there that actually care. And I will not show it. And this cop, who I guess did his job, just like Hitler's Gestapo did, they did their job. He did feel bad enough, though. He gave her $20 to buy her license to continue to run her business. And I admire him for that. So let's understand that things are getting very hot, getting to be very uncomfortable in this nation, and very tense. Let's keep our eyes on what's right, let's keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And doing what's right to other people. All right? And call Melody at 800-375-4188 while the prices are down. 800-375-4188. Let's help her pay her bills so she can continue to do what she's doing, trying to educate the people and reach out to people. That's why I'm here, folks. That's why I'm here. Let's work together as a team and maybe by God's grace make a difference in somebody's life. I'll see you Monday with Melody. Y'all have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.